the message today. The only one that knows how to put on the headphones that quick, huh? Isn't that amazing? Like, somebody's going to be able to do it, right? Dear Jesus, we just lift up John to you today. We just ask that this message is a message from you, and we hear it, and we listen to what words you're speaking to us. We just pray that our hearts are open and our minds are clear in your message today. And so we just lift them up to you in your name. Amen. Amen.
Hello. That's not too bad. Sorry if I'm yelling in your ear. I wanted to, one, give a sort of a little pre-message message if you haven't been here, even if you have. We have a nursery for kids, younger kids up to like 6, and then we've got another one for up to like 12 years old. And I, it's funny because I like enjoy expositional preachers that just go through the word and they just sort of keep going right through. And the reason I like it is because it covers everything. So you don't have to like pick and choose what you want to talk about. You're sort of forced to talk about everything. So that's the type of thing that I like. So the drawback is, now it's coming back to bite me, there are some adult themes in the section that I'm going to be reading. So I just wanted to make sure everyone that has children, obviously it's not like graphic or anything, but they are going to be talking about some adult things as we sort of go through this section. So I just wanted to make sure everybody knew that up front and knew we had a place for kids to go, or adults if you're scared. So I don't preach too often, but once in a while I get the chance to come up. So the last time I was up, I started in Romans, and we got through the first half of the first chapter and sort of set the whole stage of who the Romans were and why this book was written and all that type of stuff. And when we finished, the end of that was verse 20, I believe. Yep. So we finished by 20, and what we were talking about is there's no excuse for not knowing God, that there's natural revelation and special, but basically that God makes himself known to you in all the things that you see. So everywhere we go with my wife, she's like, how can you say this? She's banging the table. Whenever you see an animal or just these beautiful things, just these really complex things, you know, there's a theological argument that Kathy, actually not here, but she's a big fan of, that says, you know, if you're walking along the beach and you see a pocket watch on the ground, what's your first thought? Not that, you know, randomly this iron happened to fall out of the earth and get, you know, molten and cleaned and fall into these gear shapes and springs. You know, someone made it. And yet we can look at a person who's 75 billion times more complicated than a pocket watch and say, oh, that just happened. You know, these chances things sort of fell together, and you know how it is. So that was where we finished, right? And then we went into Romans 21 and 22. And I meant to come up with slides. I know it's about me. Up on the big screen, but I'm reading from the New Living, so it's a little bit different translation that's up there, and I was going to try and get that for you, but I just didn't get there, sorry. But I'm reading 21 and 22 right now, and it just says, yes, they knew God. So we finished explaining that, you know, there's no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God, or even give him thanks. They began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like, and as a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And I'm going to stop there. I'll keep going in a minute. But I want to tell you a story first. I don't do this every time. Just last time and time, this time happened to work out. So, but if you don't know, the Emperor's New Clothes, they just made a Disney video a number of years back and other things. But it's actually a Hans Christian Andersen story from a long time ago, right? These swindlers come into town. They come to the king and they say, look, you know, we can weave this miraculous cloth like nothing you've ever seen, right? It's just, it looks like spun gold. It's just crazy. It's really awesome. And the most amazing thing is that you can only see it if you're wise. If you're really enlightened and you just have the brain for it, then you can see this cloth. And if you can't, then, you know, what does that say about you, right? So the king's thinking, hey, that could be handy. You know, now I know who's wise and who's not. Not only that, this is the most miraculous cloth. I'll look amazing. So he commissions them, gives them a little bit of money, and says, get started on this cloth. So they go off to the room and they start weaving and they're weaving. And of course, they're not weaving a thing. They're just sitting at the looms pretending. Just, oh yeah, look at this cloth. It looks great, doesn't it? Yeah, that looks great. That's awesome. So they keep weaving, right? But there's nothing there. So after a little while, the king sends his first lieutenant out and says, hey, go have a look on how they're doing and come back and let me know. Right? So the first lieutenant walks into the room and they're like, look at this cloth. The sun shines on it. And it's beautiful, isn't it? That guy has a choice, right? Either he sees the cloth and he's wise, or he's an idiot and it's not there, right? So he panics and he says, yes, 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 that's wonderful cloth. Thank you. And he goes back to the king and says, it's great, king, you should see it. The sun shines off it. It's wonderful. So after a while, they keep going, and then he sends out his second guy, his chamberlain, and his chamberlain goes and walks, and he walks in the room and there's nothing there. And the guy's like, look at how beautiful it is. It's like a rainbow. And he's got a choice. Now the other guy already saw it and says it's wonderful. And these two guys in front of him are saying it's wonderful. So he's got a choice to either say, hey, that isn't really there, or just play along, right? So he plays along. He says, yeah, yep, that must be it. Beautiful rainbow. Goes back to the king and tells him. So needless to say, they dress the king up. Even the king falls for it. Everybody's sort of saying, well, you know, I don't want to be the idiot. So everybody gets dressed up and he goes on a parade. So he's parading through town, and everybody's saying, oh, look at the nice clothes. And of course, he's buck naked as he's going down through the parade, right? But everyone at the parade grounds is like, that's wonderful, you know? They don't want to be the odd man, right? So it's great, until finally one of the little kids says, but wait a second, he's not wearing anything, right? And of course, his father's reaction, what every good father is, oh, what are you talking nonsense? He's beautiful, right? He tells him to be quiet. But it sort of goes through the crowd, and after a couple of minutes, the crowd is like, hey, wait a second, actually, he's not wearing anything, right? So what does the king do, and all of his crowns and his court and whatever else? They put their hands up and say, you're right, we got swindled. Of course not. They keep going on the parade, right? And he struts and says, look at my new clothes, because you got to double down, right? You're already in the parade. So he keeps going, right? So, how does that all relate to today? The next verse is Romans 1:23. And that one says, instead of worshiping the glorious ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. I actually like the English standard. I don't know what this one above me says, but it says they worship like images of things and just, you know, made up things is basically what they're worshiping, right? So my question is, how do these intelligent people fall into this dark and confused, and how do they turn to idolatry, right? So most of them are not, you know, making up little voodoo dolls and keeping it in their closet, and that's idolatry and whatever, right? What it really is from the very first page, and we talked about this last time I was here, the very first page is Adam and Eve are in the garden, right? And the main point of that story is rebellion. God sets up some rules. He sets up this perfect place for them, and as long as you can follow these couple rules, you're good, right? But we know better than God. We're not going to follow those rules, right? So that root of rebellion in it and rejection of God, for most people, if you've got nothing else to replace it, what's going to replace it, right? So there is no center of the universe. So what becomes the center of the universe is me, right? That's it. There's no higher power. There's no other reason. If there's no higher power, then I got me and only me to worry about, right? So these false idols are basically these things you invent to make you happy, to make your self-expression, whatever it is, whether it's a job or, you know, a big boat or your whatever activity that you're into at the time, right? But all of these things are very sort of self-focused ideas, right? And the question is, how do intelligent people just fall into this? What does it mean to say they're in darkness and that they're lost? So I told this story in school. If you don't know, I help run a Christian school in Berlin. So, and sometimes I do chapel on Fridays. So I told this whole story in this sermon. And of course, they all love the story and finish the story, right? And the emperor's got no clothes on. And of course, everybody laughs. And that's really funny. He's naked going through the parade, right? So that's great for the kids. So then I said, all right, do you think that could really happen? And they're all like, no, that could never happen. You know, how could someone fall for that? That's just plain silly. And I said, you're right. I said, what if I went out and I said, and I put on a dress and I said, and I shaved my beard and I came back in and said, hey, look at me. I'm a girl. Am I really a girl? And what do you think all of those children that are watching the parade said? Of course you're not a girl. Just because you say you're a girl doesn't mean you're a girl. You can say you're a watermelon, but it doesn't make you a watermelon, right? So they're all saying that, and they're all jumping at me. But the thing is if you want to be enlightened, if you want to fit in there, it's so hard to go against that grain. You know what I mean? If a culture believes something, and right now they believe, if I came in here and said I was a girl, that I was a girl, right? That changed reality and made me into a female somehow, right? Because I said that. So the problem is you're not enlightened if you don't see me as a girl. And once 4, 5, 10, 100, 1,000 people start saying that, who are you to stand up against all those people? They all see it, right? You're going to be the unenlightened one if you don't see it, right? And that's how all these intelligent people end up in darkness, right? God created each one of us intentionally. There was a plan. It wasn't blind luck and random chance that we all ended up here. There was a plan, right? And he made me a boy. That's the way it is. I might want to dress in girls' clothes, by all means. I'm not saying that somebody doesn't. I could dress up, but it doesn't change reality. And that's sort of the concerning part that's happening in a lot of places right now, right? So we've got lots of cases, right? So we go on to verse 24, and it says, so God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their heart desired. And as a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. And they worshiped this and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who's worthy of eternal praise. Amen. Right? And there are a ton of cases, and this is kind of heavy stuff, obviously, that we get into. But a lot of times people miss out on this, right? Everybody knows that if you have a child and you're a father and you leave, you're a deadbeat dad, right? That's just shameful. It's just embarrassing. You don't leave your child and do that, right? But if you're a mom, and no offense, you want to take the life of that child before it gets there because it's inconvenient, well, you know, that's a choice. You should be okay. And people don't see these sort of lack of logic that's going on. That, you know, there is a way to prevent pregnancy. It's a very old school traditional way. It's called abstinence. And if you don't want the responsibility of children, you know, maybe that's hard, but that is a way. It's foolproof, if you can believe it. 100%. Right? But people don't want to admit that. They want to have their own selfish desires. They want to do what they want to do. And whatever idols, whatever stories they've got to make up to allow themselves to do what they want to do is what they do. Because there isn't a higher power, right? There's nobody else telling them what to do. I'm bossing me. And if you're boss of you, you come up with some pretty bad ideas. I tell my kids that all the time. So if you want to be boss of you, you're going to make some really bad decisions, son, right? All right. It goes on in here, and it does use an example. And this is the one that I wanted to bring up, make sure everybody knows. So in verse 26, it says, that's why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even woman turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulged with each other. And the men, instead of having normal relations with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men. As a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserved. Right? This is big stuff, right? These are the ones that nobody wants to read in church because it doesn't fit in with culture today, right? That's not okay. I think what everybody needs to understand as we go on is, first off, that's not the only sin. We're going to keep reading. 28 to 31 lists about 400 others that all of us do, right? So this is an example of a sin. Some of those other sins, I'm probably guilty of. Probably multiple ones of those. Not to be mean to you, because I don't know some of you, but you're all guilty too. sucks to be you, but you've all done it, right? So when I'm saying that these things are wrong, I'm not saying it. One, the Bible is saying it. Two, that doesn't mean I'm judging you. It just means there's a right and wrong. And there's something set out by God, right? I'm not taking all these other sins and saying, oh, you can't believe, yeah, yeah. What's happened is, and it's hard, actually, it's difficult, is this has turned into an idol for so many people. And once you try to attack or say that that isn't right, you're attacking their idol, right? This is what they've replaced God with, this purpose. And this purpose may be an alternate lifestyle, right? That alternate lifestyle has become their being, their purpose. They've replaced God. This is what they do, right? So that's made it really hard. But what I would like to emphasize, I've got 3 points, so I'm going pretty quick to be honest with you. Point one, as you go through down, it says in verse 28, 29, 30 is the big long list of all the other stuffs, right? They became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, gossip, backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, goes on and on. They says they even invent new ways of sinning. And of course, they disobey their parents is in there, right? So all these things go on, but I want to finish in the very last line, which is 31. It says, they refuse to understand, break their promises, are heartless, and have no mercy. So what we need to understand is these people that are in darkness and confused in whatever topic it is that you think isn't right, they shouldn't be doing it, it's not okay, blah, 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 blah. Most of these people are hurting, right? They can't follow their own life. Can you imagine what it would be like to feel so uncomfortable in your own skin that you're willing to do some of the things that people are doing, right? That hurts. These people are just in so much pain, and we need to understand that. And a lot of times they can't follow their own logic. You know, they can't sort of think these things through. And it used to be probably because we didn't have any TV, we had nothing else to do. People would think a lot. But nowadays, we don't think so much because we've got other things that can keep us busy, right? But they're simple things that I think I probably used this example once. There are people that are called trans-able, which means I don't think my arm belongs to me. Right? And I want to get my arm cut off because my arm doesn't belong to me. And everybody looks at that and says, well, obviously that person needs mental help, right? You don't send them to a doctor to cut their arm off. You send them to a psychologist or a counselor or someone to talk to them and say, hey, you know, you're not going to cut off your arm just because you think your arm doesn't belong to you. But if you want to cut off other parts and do other things, then you should be a hero and on the cover of a magazine. You're like, how does that logic work through, right? If you want to cut off your arm, you're crazy and need to go to a mental doctor. If you want to cut off something else, you're a genius. That doesn't work, right? That logic doesn't follow through. And what's really frightening to me, more so, is that we've abandoned logic altogether. That people try to say, because I say something, like I said, because I'm a watermelon, you have to believe I'm a watermelon. And you think I'm kind of making that up, but I'm not. There are Facebook, I used this example once, if you're not in this church, Facebook tried to be enlightened and offer a bunch of options for male and female instead of just male and female, right? So they came up with 45 options thinking that would be, you know, good. 45 options for your gender. And of course, it didn't go well. Everyone was angry, right? You know who was angry? Was 45 wasn't enough. Because once you've abandoned reality, you can be anything. So they had two-spirit and cis-eunuchs and all kinds of words that nobody even really understands. But that's not enough, because now everyone can create their own, right? There's no God in the place, then that means I'm in charge. And if I want to be unique, I can come up with my own thing, right? So the problem is, what if I say I'm an American Indian? And now I want to apply for a scholarship, right? They get good money for that. Or go live on a reservation, right? You can't say, well, that's just silly. You don't have the genes of American Indians. I don't have the genes of a female either. You know what I mean? All of these things don't make sense, and people are sort of getting stuck in it. But the problem is, these things have real-world consequences that everybody is going to see and face in the near future, right? There are children right now that are 8 years old and are getting hormone-blocking therapy because they have said, you know, I'm a boy, but I like dresses and stuff like that. So their parents say, well, you know, this is the right thing to do. We want to put you on hormone blockers until you decide whether you want to be a female or a male. Right? The problem is, the hormone blockers were created for people that have overactive growth hormones. Right? So people that were probably going to die because of this condition, they've approved a drug to say, hey, look, this will slow down your hormones so you don't turn out to be 6'8" by the time you're 8. Right? That's the point of that drug. They're using it off-label for a drug that really doesn't have any experience, right? And I saw this in an article, and I didn't believe them, so I looked it up. And in California, there is a website that advises insurance companies about these issues. And on it, it says, before you start this treatment, make sure you discuss fertility with them, because they may not be fertile when they grow up because of these drugs. And I'm like, so you're taking a 6- and 8-year-old that everybody knows needs structure. They need to be taught black and white, right? They need to be told, this is what's okay, this is what's not okay. Everybody knows, right? They thrive under structure. They thrive under rules. Everybody says that. Everybody knows that in their brain, right? That's how kids develop. But they say, at the most fundamental thing, I want to change reality, and I don't want to be a boy anymore. I don't want to be a girl. So they start you on drug treatment and say, by the way, when you're 35, do you think you want to have kids? Because this could impact that. To a 6- and 8-year-old. This is the outcome of these consequences. And I don't want to just be dragged that one thing, but it's such a good example of where you go when you get caught up in this darkness, right? And that leads to point two. And that is, it's getting harder and harder to live in this world. If you have these traditional beliefs, or if you believe what's in this book, it's getting difficult. If you read the news, there is this law that's going on. Everybody knows about law. You know, people, bakers and whoever, want to do this for their cakes, don't want to follow their belief. There's all kinds of stuff like that, which is neat. What concerns me even more so is just the mob mentality is very powerful now. If somebody doesn't like something, it gets shared on Facebook and it's got 70 billion views in an hour. And that's entirely different dynamic in this world. So there was to Heather, what do you call that? CrossFit. There was a CrossFit. This couple, a Christian couple, owned a couple of CrossFit gyms, and basically one of them was planning an event for a gay pride event, basically, The owners said, you know, we don't really want to do that. And they put out a letter that said, you know, we think pride is a sin, and we think that it, you know, doesn't contribute to health. And that's what we do. So that was all it said, basically. It was a very simple letter saying, we don't believe that contributes to whole body health, because we don't believe that you should be prideful. And basically, of course, it caused a huge uproar. All the people that worked there quit, and they had to close it and another place. So these people lost their livelihood because of that. Their CEO tweeted, basically supporting them before everything sort of blew up. He said, you know, good for you, standing up for what you believe and doing what you want to do. You know, that's right, that's right. So needless to say, a week later, he was fired. So it's getting a little bit more challenging to have beliefs that don't go along with what it is. It's not necessarily even legal, it's just life. And you don't have to go to it, but James 4:4, and everybody probably has heard this, or other verses like it. Don't you realize friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say again, if you want to be a friend of the world, You are an enemy of God, which makes it hard, right? So, right now, all of us are pretty good. We're on our high horse. And I'm going to make my way just into Romans 2. So 2:1 is Paul saying, you may think you can condemn such people, but you're just as bad and you've got no excuse. When you say they're wicked and should be punished, you're condemning yourself, for you judge others and you do the very same things. And we know God in His justice will punish anyone who does these things. And since you judge others for doing them, why do you think you can avoid God's judgment when you do the same things? So, that's point three. It's easy to sort of look at that and say, oh, you know, these bad people, these people are lost and confused. And I used, obviously, the low-hanging fruit, the easy examples of how you're lost and confused that we can all point fingers at, right? And it's easier to do that. But there are big and small ways you can get lost and confused all over. One that no one likes to talk about is pornography. Pornography is a scourge on our country right now. There are children growing up all over this country that have no idea what a relationship between a man and a woman is supposed to be like. What a loving relationship is supposed to be. And it's all taken away because of that. And it's a multi-billion dollar enterprise. And research says, and here's where it comes right home, that Christians are just as likely to be looking at it as anybody else. Right? That's a bummer for us, you know? So it's easy to stand up and point the finger at everybody else, but that's some of the big stuff that's in our own backyard. There's even small stuff. When I was with the kids, I was trying to make a little bit of a point. They probably went over their head. Most of what I talk about does. But I'm hoping as they get older, I just keep repeating these things, and eventually they get some of it, right? But the example I used was Happy Feet. Anybody seen Happy Feet? The dancing penguins, right? Everybody's seen it. Even our kids have seen it, right? The theme, the moral of that movie, and it's on the back of the movie, and I brought it in and I showed it to them. Of course, I don't have it anymore. But at the time I had it and I was showing it to them, was be true to yourself. And basically, you know, you can make things happen. You can make dreams happen, whatever else, right? The only tricky part about that is that's not really a Christian message at all. You know? If you actually read the Bible front to back, you're not supposed to be true to yourself. God designed you. He set rules in place. At times, it stinks, but you've actually got to sacrifice what you want for other people. And that's the whole point. You're supposed to be putting other people first. You're supposed to be sacrificing a lot of your wants and desires because they're wrong. As much as it sucks, they're wrong. Right? And you've got to put away those things and say, look, I'm not being true to myself. I'm being true to what's right. And that's hard sometimes, right? You don't get to count the cost. You just got to do what's right. And that's the way it is. So that be true to yourself is something that we all see every day and we think it's sort of normal, right? So that is that same darkness. That's that people that are stuck in and lost in. And it's a struggle to stay out of it. So I wish I could say there was a magic bullet to help keep you sort of sane and on the right road. The best one I can come up with. But so you got to try and keep reading it and working on it and working through it. It's not easy. I don't think it's designed to be easy, honestly, because it's meant to challenge millions and millions of people and lead them on their daily walk from being a non-Christian all the way through to, you know, being very sanctified, fully sanctified, but being a very good Christian, right? All the way along there, you still need to pick up this book and find things in it, right? So it's not easy. It's meant to be something that you worked at. And for thousands of years, people understood that. Now we sort of want the self-help. You know, like, can't you bring that down to like 8 points or 9 points, right? That's the articles. I love to read articles and go on. And every one of them now is the 6 points that do blah, 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 or the 4 ways you can accomplish X, Y, Z. That's because we all want it in these little bite-sized, simple things, right? It doesn't work that way. You actually have to put some work in to read and pay attention and grow. But that's the only way you're going to get out of that darkness and loss and confusion. So I would suggest you give it a try. And that's my message for today.